Higher than a kite and sicker than a dog. Not genetics, just a fat fuck. Every couple of years, P&T play Lake Tahoe. It's over a mile up, 6,224 feet above sea level. It's a nice room and nice audiences, but I would always get altitude sickness. I would get it bad. For the first few hours after arriving, I had headaches and couldn't walk upstairs without stopping to rest. I was weak and miserable the whole time. I once flew directly from Tahoe to L.A. on a smoggy day and was so thrilled to be able to feel the air going into my lungs. I hated the altitude. Many years ago, in one of our gigs there, my altitude sickness must have coupled with a virus or something. Before the show, I was backstage having what felt like a fucking seizure. I was shaking so violently, I couldn't get dressed. Jeff Ross, who opened for us that night, was on stage killing. Soon he would throw it to us, and I'd have to do the show. But I couldn't stand up. I was sweating and burning up and freezing. I'm telling you, it was tied to the altitude. Every time I was in a high-altitude city, I felt like shit the whole time. Not this bad, but I'm sure whatever it was this time was started by being on top of fucking Everest. Casinos used to be run by criminals. Back then, I would have had a guy with a broken nose backstage saying, "Listen, asshole, toughen the fuck up. It's a full house out there. We do not give money back. Put your clothes on, get your ass out on stage, magic boy. It's showtime." Now, corporations run casinos. To my buddies who feel the burn, these are the same. But to me, there is a difference. In the corporate casino world, there's more paperwork. When I couldn't stop myself from shaking, teller called an ambulance, and two EMTs arrived, glued EKG discs to my chest, and got me on a gurney. Just a few seconds after they entered, as I was being strapped in, another guy arrived. He was a nice guy with a tie and a smile and an unbroken nose. He had a piece of paper with him, which he read to me. I don't remember exactly what he said, but what he read made a difference. This was something that had been written by lawyers and then vetted by other lawyers and bounced off another set of lawyers and probably tested in a court of civil law. The nice guy with the tie read that the casino's primary concern was my health. That was all that mattered. Not only did they not want me to do a show if it would threaten my health, but they would furthermore not allow me to do a show that would put my health in any jeopardy. They were ready, willing, and able, and desirous to have Jeff make an announcement that I was sick and they would refund every penny. The EMT said, "Great, let's get him to the hospital." But the nice guy with the tie had more explaining to do. It was, of course, my decision. It was a sold-out crowd, and they were really excited for a P&T magic show. I think he was ad-libbing off some of the boilerplate. The EMTs tried to point out the decision had been made and I was going in the ambulance. The nice guy with the tie continued to explain that I still had my rights, and there was a big crowd, and after all, I was in showbiz, and maybe I wanted to have the show go on. I told the EMTs that I might want to give it a try, and they began reciting their own boilerplate. They had been called for an emergency, they had examined me, and I was wicked fucked up. I don't remember the exact wording. And in their opinion, I needed to take their ambulance to the hospital. Nice guy with the tie said, as long as I was conscious, it was my choice. The EMT said that once they had been called, they could not be dismissed by anyone other than me. I told everyone in the room the deal. If I could stand up long enough to get dressed, I would go on. The nice guy with the tie said, "That is entirely your personal choice. You are, of course, assuming all responsibility and culpability yourself, and I'm going to need you to sign this little piece of paper saying the casino, all its owners, employers, shareholders, hookers, mascots, and pets have advised you to cancel the show," or something like that. I stood up, and the EMTs made me sign something that said they had been falsely called and that nothing was wrong with me. I affirmed that I was in good health. They all then helped me to stand up and held me while I got dressed. The nice guy with the tie told the EMTs to stay for the show and keep the ambulance right outside the stage door. He told them to give me oxygen whenever I was off stage and keep the EKG discs on me and check me while I huffed O2 during Teller's solo bits. That's what happened. I don't remember the show, but I guess I made it through. Jeff Ross still thanks me for letting him do a few extra minutes. I was dying, he was killing. Right after the show, the EMTs and my buddy Robbie got me into an ambulance, and I was taken to the hospital, where everyone waited for me to have a heart attack. I didn't, but I felt awful. It was a bad night for everyone. No other trip up high was as dramatic as that one. When I was at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, with my movie The Aristocrats, I was 7,000 feet up and landed in the hospital. My partners, Prevenz and Pete Golden, hurried over to let me know that my health came first, but we had spent a lot of money to set up those press hits. When I took our movie Tim's Vermeer to Telluride, what the fuck is it with film festivals being up so high? I was at 8,700 feet and felt like shit. And that was after I'd taken the drug Diamox for a few days to try to ward off the altitude sickness. Of course, I thought my problem with altitude sickness was genetic, like all the rest of my fat fuck problems. I was just unlucky to not be able to function high up. It was something to do with my fucking Newfoundland blood or something. I never admitted that I was simply a fat fuck. When Sam Kennison played Tahoe, he needed oxygen backstage, and wasn't he a fat fuck too? I guess I should have learned from that, but I was also told that Tiffany used oxygen backstage when she was a 17-year-old and weighed as much as my left leg and sang her just faster enough not to be sexy version of I Think We're Alone Now. I told myself it wasn't weight. It was just the luck of the draw. Man, I told myself that about everything. Such a self-deluding asshole. I weighed 229 pounds when my movie Director's Cut, you know, the one I gained the 110 pounds for, opened Slam Dance. That festival is also in Park City, so it's also 7,000 feet up. Easy and the long-suffering Glenn both reminded me to take Diamox for a couple of days before we left, but I said, fuck it. I didn't want to bother, but also a part of me knew all along that my high-altitude problem was really a fat-fuck problem. I didn't take any Diamox. I flew to Park City, and we premiered my movie. I had interviews and pictures up and down the main street and trotted up flights of stairs next to the perfectly fit and always handsome Harry Hamlin. Neither of us was puffing. No huffing O2, no EKG discs, no headaches, no seizures, no EMTs or nice guys with ties reading from scripts or buddies telling me all they cared about was my health, but shouldn't I just do what I promised I would do? There was no problem. I guess someone could have screamed in my face that I was a fat fuck and that being a fat fuck would kill me even faster on top of a mountain than at sea level. But no one did. There was no nice guy with a tie saying that one of my primary concerns should be my own health, because the casino, all its owners, employers, shareholders, my family, friends, hookers, mascots, and pets had to take care of their own fucking lives. And who the fuck was I to make all those people waste their time taking care of a fat fuck on a mountain?